tattoo gave biologist Deborah Rudis goosebumps. Until her first visit to the island in 2007, Rudis had only seen Attu's past while sifting through decades of documents for her job at Juneau's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office. She plans to return this summer with a team of other scientists to catalog the work that needs to be done. Rudis says evidence of military occupation sticks around on Attu.
It's such a wet environment that all that surface water continues to flow and meet the creeks and go downstream. In a few places, you just kind of kick into the edge of the stream bank and you could release some product coming out into the water, and you'd see the oil slick just move downstream.
Rudis is a contaminants biologist and was on Attu to survey the pollution. She calls the hydrocarbon pollutants product because there's more there than just oil.
There's bunker C and there's lubricants and there's different oils and there's diesel fuels.
During her 2007 visit, Rudis shared the island with a few Coast Guardsmen and two other biologists. Now, the Coast Guard station is closed. The westernmost island in Alaska's Aleutian chain holds ties to both war and conservation. Attu is part of Fish and Wildlife's Aleutian Maritime National Wildlife Refuge and the National Park Service's World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument. Historian Debbie Corbett will join Rudis and the other scientists this summer to survey old Attu battlefields for the first time. Corbett is Alaska's Regional Historic Preservation Officer for the Fish and Wildlife Service. She has been to Attu before to study Aleut artifacts.
So we have all these layers of historic events that are more or less important, and they're all jumbled up there together.
World War II's Aleutian campaign is sometimes called the Thousand Mile War. It brought 15,000 U.S. troops to this remote island. The U.S. military built a base over a couple of years. Rudis says about 2,000 Japanese soldiers dug into the ground or navigated caves for shelter. Cliffs and mountains separated the two bases. The U.S. retook Attu from the Japanese in 1943 in the only World War II battle on American soil. The wartime debris remains.
It's sort of like a World War II version of Gettysburg, where you've got the troop movements and the actual battle. You can see where the battle was fought.
Rudis followed the trail of troop supplies while surveying Attu. She counted multiple piles of fuel barrels, many so rusted only the skeletal rings remained. Their contents had pooled and solidified, creating an asphalt lot in the middle of the Aleutian tundra.
When World War II was over, they just left it. And even in the 70s and the 80s, when the Navy or other military entities left other places in the Aleutians, they left it behind. They left their buildings. They left the coffee cups on the table. They left their papers. It's amazing when you go in there and you see this stuff. Now, in Attu, most of it's pretty well gone and decayed. But the contaminants were not considered an issue. And, of course, they wouldn't have been back then because it was a war situation.
Unexploded ordnances litter the island but are marked sporadically. Rudis says a naval disposal unit tried to extinguish the risk of explosive accidents, but the plan backfired, simply scattering many of the artillery shells.
They thought it could blow them up and it would neutralize them, so to speak, but a lot of things don't totally blow up or they're buried in the bottom of the pile.
The Navy also tried to blow up the nearly bomb-proof fuel tanks, but the bombs may have simply poked holes for the slow escape of fuel. Attu is one of about 10,000 formerly used defense sites nationwide. The Department of Defense has about $250 million each year to whittle away at some of the 2,700 sites that need cleaning up. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers district offices oversee the projects. And Rudis says, for years, Fish and Wildlife has dogged the Alaska District to fund an Attu cleanup. Alaska Public Affairs Specialist Kurt Bieberdorf says the project could cost in the tens of millions of dollars and stretch out more than a decade. Kenneth Andrashko is the manager of formerly used defense sites in Alaska. He says existing projects should be wrapped up before starting Attu. Fish and Wildlife will fund this summer's survey. Andrashko says in 2 to 5 years, the Corps of Engineers will step in.
We don't own that land. We don't manage that land, we being the Department of Defense. Fish and Wildlife might have to look at some of the areas to determine what they want to keep, what is culturally significant to them, what areas they want disturbed, not disturbed, before the Corps of Engineers, on behalf of DOD, goes in and does a remediation.
Attu is a historically rich landscape of World War II artifacts and battlefields. Corbett says World War II artifacts weren't seen as old or special enough to preserve until recently. She aims to leave things where they're found whenever possible. Where she finds an object helps her understand how it was used. and what was around it.
I'm trying to get people to think of this as a landscape, not just as isolated objects on the ground or a cluster of buildings or a runway, but the whole thing as a unified picture.
This summer, the Fish and Wildlife team will get to Attu by sea. The Coast Guard station's abandoned runway needs a safety check before planes can land. The Corps of Engineers is making it a priority to clean up Attu before the runway decays. Like the dregs of war, the tundra will eventually reclaim the runway pavement. For K2, I'm Kelsey Gabrowski.